The Jerusalem Sinner Saved by John Bunyan. HailAndFire.com. Wherefore his way is oft times to step out of the way, to Jericho, to Samaria, to the country of the Gadarens, to the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, and also to Mount Calvary, that he may lay hold of such kind of sinners as will love him to his liking. Luke 19, 1-11. John 4, 3-11. Mark 6, 1-21. Matthew 15, 21-29. Luke 23, 33-44. But thus much for the sixth reason, why Christ Jesus would have mercy offered in the first place to the biggest sinners, to wit, because such sinners, when converted, are apt to love him most. The Jerusalem sinners were they that outstripped, when they were converted, in some things, all the churches of the Gentiles. They were of one heart, and of one soul, neither said any of them, that aught of the things that they possessed was their own. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the price of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, etc. Acts 4:32-35. Now, show me such another pattern if you can. But why did these do thus? Oh! They were Jerusalem sinners. These were the men that but a little before had killed the Prince of Life. And those to whom he did, that notwithstanding, send the first offer of grace and mercy. And the sense of this took them up betwixt the earth and the heaven, and carried them on in such ways and methods as could never be trodden by any since. They talk of the Church of Rome, and set her in her primitive state, as a pattern and mother of churches, when the truth is, they were the Jerusalem sinners, when converts, that outdid all the churches that ever were. Seventhly, Christ Jesus would have mercy offered, in the first place, to the biggest sinners. Because grace when it is received by such, finds matter to kindle upon more freely than it finds in other sinners. Great sinners are like the dry wood, or like great candles, which burn best and shine with biggest light. I lay not this down, as I did those reasons before, to show, that when great sinners are converted, they will be encouragement to others, though that is true. But to show that Christ has a delight to see grace, the grace we receive, to shine. We love to see things that bear a good gloss. Yea, we choose to buy such kind of matter to work upon, as will, if wrought up to what we intend, cast at lustre that we desire. Candles that burn not bright, we like not, would that as green will rather smother, and sputter, and smoke, and crack, and flounce, than cast a brave light and pleasant heat. Wherefore great folks care not much, not so much for such kind of things, as for them that will better answer their ends. Hence Christ desires the biggest sinner. In him there is matter to work by, to wit, a great deal of sin. For as by the tallow of the candle, the fire takes occasion to burn the brighter, so by the sin of the soul, grace takes occasion to shine the clearer. Little candles shine but little, for there wanteth matter for the fire to work upon. But in the great sinner, here is more matter for grace to work by. Faith shines, when it worketh towards Christ, through the sides of many and great transgressors, and so does love, for that much is forgiven. And what matter can be found in the soul for humility to work by so well, as by a sight that I have been and am an abominable sinner? And the same is to be said of patience, meekness, gentleness, self-denial, or of any other grace. Grace takes occasion by the vileness of the man to shine the more, even as by the ruggedness of a very strong distemper or disease, the virtue of the medicine is best made manifest. Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. Romans 5:20. A black string makes the neck look whiter. Great sins make grace burn clear. Some say, when grace and a good nature meet together, they do make shining Christians, but I say, when grace and a great sinner meet, and when grace shall subdue that great sinner to itself, and shall operate after its kind in the soul of that great sinner, then we have a shining Christian. Witness all those of whom mention was made before. Abraham was among the idolaters when in the land of Assyria, and served idols with his kindred on the other side of the flood. Jews 24, 2. Genesis 11, 31. But who, when called, was there in the world, in whom grace shone so bright as in him? The Thessalonians were idolaters before the word of God came to them. But when they had received it, they became examples to all that did believe in Macedonia and Achaia. 1 Thess 1:6-10. God the Father, and Jesus Christ his Son, are for having things seen, for having the word of life held forth. They light not a candle that it might be put under a bushel, or under a bed, but on a candlestick, that all that come in may see the light. Matthew 5:15. Mark 4:21. Luke 8:16 and 11:33. And, I say, as I said before, in whom is light like so to shine, as in the souls of great sinners? When the Jewish Pharisees dallied with the gospel, Christ threatened to take it from them, and to give it to the barbarous heathens and idolaters. Why so? For they, saith he, will bring forth the fruits thereof in their season. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. Matthew 21:41-43. I have often marveled at our youth, and said in my heart, what should be the reason that they should be so generally at this day debauched as they are? For they are now profaned to amazement. And sometimes I have thought one thing, and sometimes another. That is, why God should suffer it so to be. At last I have thought of this, how if the God, whose ways are past finding out, should suffer it so to be now, that he might make of some of them the more glorious saints hereafter. I know sin is of the devil, but it cannot work in the world without permission, and if it happens to be as I have thought, it will not be the first time that God the Lord hath caught Satan in his own design. For my part, I believe that the time is at hand, that we shall see better saints in the world than has been seen in it this many a day. And this vileness, that at present does so much swallow up our youth, is one cause of my thinking so, for out of them, for from among them, when God sets to his hand, as of old, you shall see what penitent ones, what trembling ones, and what admirers of grace, will be found to profess the gospel to the glory of God by Christ. Alas! We are a company of worn-out Christians, our moon is in the wane. We are much more black than white, more dark than light. We shine but a little. Grace in the most of us is decayed. But I say, when they of these debauched ones that are to be saved shall be brought in, when these that look more like devils than men shall be converted to Christ. And I believe several of them will, then will Christ be exalted, grace adored, the word prized, Zion's path better trodden, and men in the pursuit of their own salvation, to the amazement of them that are left behind. Just before Christ came into the flesh, the world was degenerated as it is now. The generality of the men in Jerusalem were become either high and famous for hypocrisy, or filthy base in their lives. The devil also was broke loose in a hideous man, and had taken possession of many. Yea, I believe that there was never generation before nor since, that could produce so many possessed with devils, deformed, lame, blind, and infected with monstrous diseases, as that generation could. But what was the reason thereof? I mean the reason from God. Why 1. And we may sum up more in that answer that Christ gave to his disciples concerning him that was born blind, was, that the works of God might be made manifest in them, and that the Son of God might be glorified thereby, John 9:2-3, 11:4. Now if these devils and diseases, as they possessed men then, were to make way and work for an approaching Christ in person, and for the declaring of his power, why may we not think that now, even now also, he is ready to come by his Spirit in the gospel to heal many of the debaucheries of our age? I cannot believe that grace will take them all, for there are but few that are saved. But yet it will take some, even some of the worst of men, and make blessed ones of them. But, oh how these ringleaders in vice will then shine in virtue! They will be the very pillars in churches, They will be as an ensign in the land. The Lord their God shall save them in that day as the flock of his people, for they shall be as the stones of a crown, lifted up as an ensign upon his land. Zech 9:16. But who are these? Even idolatrous Ephraim, and backsliding Judah. Verse 13. I know there is ground to fear, that the iniquity of this generation will be pursued with heavy judgments, but that will not hinder what we have supposed. God took him a glorious church out of bloody Jerusalem, yea, out of the chief of the sinners there, and left the rest to be taken and spoiled, and sold, 30 for a penny, in the nations where they were captives. The gospel working gloriously in a place, to the seizing upon many of the ringleading sinners thereof, promiseth no security to the rest, but rather three attendeth them with the heaviest and smartest judgments. As in the instance now given, we have a full demonstration. But in defending, the Lord will defend his people. And in saving, he will save his inheritance. Nor does this speak any great comfort to a decayed and backsliding sort of Christians. For the next time God rides post with his gospel, he will leave such Christians behind him. But I say, Christ is resolved to set up his light in the world. Yea, he is delighted to see his graces shine. And therefore he commands that his gospel should to that end be offered, in the first place, to the biggest sinners. For by great sins it shineth most. Therefore he saith, begin at Jerusalem. Eighthly, and lastly, Christ Jesus will have mercy to be offered in the first place to the biggest sinners. For that by that means the impenitent that are left behind will be at the judgment the more left without excuse. God's word has two edges. It can cut backstroke and forestroke. If it doth thee no good, it will do thee hurt. It is the savour of life unto life to those that receive it, but of death unto death to them that refuse it. 2 Corinthians 2:15-16. But this is not all. The tender of grace to the biggest sinners in the first place, will not only leave the rest, or those that refuse it, in a deplorable condition, but will also stop their mouths, and cut off all pretense to excuse it that day. If I had not come and spoken unto them, saith Christ, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin of persevering in impenitence. Job 15:22. But what did he speak to them? Why, even that which I have told you. To wit, that he has in special a delight in saving the biggest sinners. He spake this in the way of his doctrine. He spake this in the way of his practice, even to the pouring out of his last breath before them. Luke 23:34. Now, since this is so, what can the condemned at the judgment say for themselves, why sentence of death should not be passed upon them? I say, what excuse can they make for themselves, when they shall be asked why they did not in the day of salvation come to Christ to be saved? Will they have ground to say to the Lord, Thou wast only for saving of little sinners? And therefore because they were great ones, they durst not come unto him. Or that Thou hadst not compassion for the biggest sinners, therefore I died in despair? Will these be excuses for them, as the case now standeth with them? Is there not everywhere in God's book a flat contradiction to this, in multitudes of promises, of invitations, of examples, and the like? Alas, alas! There will then be there millions of souls to confute this plea. Ready, I say, to stand up, and say, Oh! Deceived world, heaven swarms with such, as were, when they were in the world, to the full as bad as you. Now, this will kill all plea or excuse, why they should perish in their sins. Yea, the text says, they shall see them there. There shall be weeping, when you shall see Abraham, and Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of heaven, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east, and from the west, and from the north, and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. Luke 13:28-29. Out of which company it is easy to pick such as sometimes were as bad people as any that now breathe on the face of the earth. What think you of the first man, by whose sins there are millions now in hell? And so I may say, What think you of 10,000 more besides? But if the world will not stifle and gag them up, I speak now for amplification's sake, the view of those who are saved shall. There comes an incestuous person to the bar, and pleads, that the bigness of his sins was a bar to his receiving the promise. But will not his mouth be stopped as to that, when Lot and the incestuous Corinthian shall be set before him? Genesis 19:33-37. 1 Corinthians 5:1-2. There comes a thief, and says, Lord, my sin of theft, I thought, was such as could not be pardoned by thee. But when he shall see the thief that was saved on the cross stand by, as clothed with beauteous glory, what further could he be able to object? Yea, the Lord will produce 10,000 of his saints at his coming, who shall after this manner execute judgment upon all, and so convince all that are ungodly among them, of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. And these are hard speeches against him, to say that he was not able or willing to save men, because of the greatness of their sins, or to say that they were discouraged by his word from repentance, because of the heinousness of their offences. These things, I say, shall then be confuted. He comes with 10,000 of his saints to confute them, and to stop their mouths from making objections against their own eternal damnation. Here is Adam, the destroyer of the world. Here is Lot, that lay with both his daughters. Here is Abraham, that was sometime an idolater, and Jacob, that was a supplanter, and Reuben, that lay with his father's concubine, and Judah that lay with his daughter-in-law, and Levi and Simeon that wickedly slew the Shechemites, and Aaron that great backslider, and Manasseh that man of blood, and that made an idol to be worshipped, and that proclaimed a religious feast unto it. Here is also Rachab the harlot, and Bathsheba that bare a bastard to David. Here is Solomon a witch. Time would fail me to tell you of the woman of Canaan's daughter, Magdalene, of Matthew the publican, and of Gideon and Samson, and many thousands more. Alas! Alas! I say, what will these sinners do, that have, through their unbelief, eclipsed the glorious largeness of the mercy of God, and gave way to despair of salvation, because of the bigness of their sins? For all these, though now glorious saints in light, were sometimes sinners of the biggest size, who had sins that were of a notorious hue. Yet now, I say, they are in their shining and heavenly robes before the throne of God and of the Lamb, blessing for ever and ever that Son of God for their salvation, who died for them upon the tree, admiring that ever it should come into their hearts once to think of coming to God by Christ. But above all, blessing God for granting of them light to see those encouragements in his testament, without which, without doubt, they had been daunted and sunk down under guilt of sin and despair, as their fellow sinners have done. But now they also are witnesses for God, and for his grace against an unbelieving world. For, as I said, they shall come to convince the world of their speeches, their hardened unbelieving words, that they have spoken concerning the mercy of God, and the merits of the passion of his blessed Son Jesus Christ. But will it not, think you, strangely put to silence all such thoughts, and words, and reasonings of the ungodly before the bar of God? Doubtless it will. Yea, and will send them away from his presence also, with the greatest guilt it possibly can fasten upon the consciences of men. For what will sting like this? I have, through mine own foolish, narrow, and worthy, undervaluing thoughts, of the love and ability of Christ to save me, brought myself to everlasting ruin. It is true, I was a horrible sinner. Not one in a hundred did live so vile a life as I, but this should not have kept me from closing with Jesus Christ. I see now that there are abundance in glory that once were as bad as I have been, but they were saved by faith, and I am damned by unbelief. Wretch that I am! Why did not I give glory to the redeeming blood of Jesus? Why did I not humbly cast my soul at his blessed footstool for mercy? Why did I judge of his ability to save me by the voice of my shallow reason, and the voice of a guilty conscience? Why betook not I myself to the holy word of God? Why did I not read and pray that I might understand, since now I perceive that God said then, He giveth liberally to them that pray, and upbraideth not. Jam. 1, 5. It is rational to think, that by such cogitations as these the unbelieving world will be torn in pieces before the judgment of Christ, especially those that have lived where they did or might have heard the gospel of the grace of God.
Oh!
That saying, it shall be the more tolerable for Sodom at the judgment than for them, will be better understood. See Luke 10:8-12. This reason, therefore, standeth fast, namely, that Christ, by offering mercy in the first place to the biggest sinner now, will stop all mouths of the impenitent at the day of judgment, and cut off all excuse that shall be attempted to be made from the thoughts of the greatness of their sins, why they came not to Him. I have often thought of the day of judgment, and how God will deal with sinners at that day, and I believe it will be managed with that sweetness, with that equitableness, with that excellent righteousness, as to every sin, and circumstance, and aggravation thereof, that men that are damned, before the judgment is over shall receive such conviction of the righteous judgment of God upon them, and of their deserts of hell fire, that they shall in themselves conclude that there is all the reason in the world that they should be shut out of heaven, and go to hell fire. These shall go away into everlasting punishment. Matthew 25:46. Only this will tear them, that they have missed of mercy and glory, and obtained everlasting damnation through their unbelief. But it will tear but themselves, but their own souls. They will gnash upon themselves. For in that mercy was offered to the chief of them in the first place, and yet they were damned for rejecting of it. They were damned for forsaking what they had a sort of propriety in. For forsaking their own mercy. John Bunyan.